Good morning. It's Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Victoria Lanham with Lanham Law in today. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining me. So Lanham Law is an estate planning and elder law firm. Is that how we...
Yeah.
Those of us who are not in the law world say. So tell me, what does that mean?
So basically, we do last wills and testaments, powers of attorney. We help people with their financial situations. If someone has young kids or owns a house, you know, we always say that's a great time to come in and get a plan in place in case something terrible happens and you're not here anymore and you're able to leave a legacy for your family. And also, it also involves like asset protection and preserving your wealth. And things like that as well.
So what made you decide to be a business owner and not just go work at, you know, some huge law firm?
Yeah. So I actually come from a long line of business owners, starting with my great grandparents. I'm originally from Mississippi, and my great grandparents owned a furniture store. And my grandparents also have been entrepreneur since my grandfather was, I think, 16 years old. He opened a snowball stand selling them for a nickel and dime.
That's awesome. I've heard some weird business stories, but never a snowball stand.
A snowball stand. That's where he started. And it grew into, I think he had a carpet company. And then he ended up with like a, like the conversion van company where, when vans were a thing, that's what he did. And he had over like 100 employees. And
oh my gosh.
Now they, my grandparents have an antique store now. So yeah, long line of business owners.
Wow.
And then my uncle also is a criminal defense attorney and has his own practice in Mississippi. So I always knew that's something I wanted.
Sounds like totally a John. Is he in a John Grisham novel?
he's had some stories where... Yes. If he would write them down, it would be a novel for sure.
So so you grew up in Mississippi?
I did.
And did you go to law school down there?
I went to law school in Tennessee.
Okay.
At LMU in Knoxville.
Okay. And so at what point did you make your way to Tennessee?
After college, I went to Mississippi College. And after college, my family and I always vacationed in Gatlinburg. We went more times than I can count when I was growing up. And I've always loved Tennessee. So when I knew I was applying to law school, I knew I wanted to try at least to apply in Tennessee and see what happened. And I just really loved LMU, and that's where I ended up.
And why elder law and estate planning?
Yeah. You know, I've did a lot of internships with other areas of the law, but I wanted an area where I felt like I could really make a difference in people's lives. And with last wills and testaments, it's, you know, there are parts of it that are hard, probate, when a loved one passes away and you're having to help with the estate and things like that are very, very hard areas, but also it can be very rewarding. You're helping families save the things that they've worked their whole lives to prepare and take care of family members when they aren't here and able to help them. And I just wanted a happy area of the law where I felt like I could really make a difference in families' lives.
So did you, I have no idea. I've never gone to law school. So is it kind of like med school where you try different areas and you kind of see what you like a little bit?
It's a little different than medical school, I would say. Like law school is 3 years. So your first year, they say like, don't work anywhere. Just concentrate on your classes and do that. And then the summer after that, they tell you now's your time to shine. Like go get internships, you know, try different ones, see what you like. And I was fortunate enough, I had worked for my uncle who does do the criminal defense, as I said earlier. And I knew that criminal law is not what I wanted to do from that. I mean, it was fun, but I just knew for me personally, that wasn't where I was going. So I tried out other areas and this is the one I fell in love with.
She's a sweet little blonde. And so that's probably, with a defense attorney, it's...
Yeah.
A little bit rougher, I think.
Yes.
So, So when you were growing up in Mississippi, and you said you came here all the time as a kid, did you think, A, you would settle in someplace like Cookeville?
I always knew I wanted, like, the family environment of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going out.
Wait a second. Gatlinburg is not.
Well, and that's why we chose Cookeville here.
Yeah.
Because Gatlinburg, we're still close enough to even do a day trip and to go up there and see the mountains. But Cookeville has the more of the family environment here.
Gatlinburg is scary to me because I think I've only gone once or twice, but it took me like an hour to drive a mile or something. And so
it depends on the day. Yes.
And as a kid going there, I would imagine it was like, oh, well, it's pretty and all that kind of stuff. But you probably didn't realize like this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
For my parents.
I didn't realize that until I could drive. When we were in law school, went up there a lot, spent a lot of time in the mountains. But traffic, you have to know when to go and when not to go and when are the busy seasons. And
yeah. So, you know, and so why Cookeville?
So my husband and I met in law school, Tyler Lanham. He's my law partner now. And his brother and sister lived up here in the Upper Cumberland Plateau. And we had visited them. Obviously, he had a lot more than me. But while we were in law school, we visited them a lot. And we really fell in love with Cookeville. And so once we got done with law school, we were kind of looking around and thought this would be a nice place to settle and make roots.
And start your law firm.
Yes.
So the other thing is, so when you grown up in Mississippi as a kid, were you kind of one that always thought, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be in law somewhere? Or did you think maybe you would own a business, which, you know, could have been a separate direction for you?
Yeah. You know, I don't think I always knew I wanted to get to law school. I know my first year of college is when I pretty much decided on it. My English classes were going well, and I had worked for my uncle, and I was like, wow, you know, he does a lot of writing. That's something that's really important in the law is writing, and I love to write, so that would be a good fit. But growing up, I think I always knew I wanted to have some kind of business, but I didn't really know what I wanted. I always just knew I really wanted to help people, whatever that may be, and then it ended up in the law.
In case you're just joining us, we have Victoria Lanham with Lanham Law in today. It's really interesting because I used to be a high school teacher, and I said the same thing. I just want to help people. Yeah. And then when I stopped teaching, I started up time passed. And then I started working at the Biz Foundry, and I said, oh, this is nothing like what I was doing teaching. But I just want to help people. And so it's like now I get to help people. There's so many ways to help people and to figure out where you can be best used and your skills are best used. I think that's kind of, not to get too deep on this, you know, Wednesday morning, but I feel like that's the mission in life.
Yeah.
Is to kind of find your way, whatever your skills are, to help people.
Yep. No, I think you're right. And that's what I hope that we're doing with our firm and helping people in Tennessee.
So how long ago was it that you moved to Cookeville?
It was in the summer of 2019.
Okay. So summer of 2019 hits and you start your practice right away? Your independent practice?
Yeah. It was either end of July, beginning of August is when I started.
And at the time, your husband was not working with you. He was working separately?
He was. He was working at the public defender's office.
So the other side of the...
Yes.
Yes. He was writing John Grisham novels.
He was. He was.
So what motivated you to work separately and not just kind of jump into things together right away?
Yeah.
Not to get too deep into your...
No. We just decided that, you know, anytime you start up a business, it's risky. Mm-hmm. That's always a question of like, will it do well? Will it not? You know, we were new here. So not only were we having to grow a business, but I was also having to make connections and meet people and get involved in the community more. So we just decided it would be better off for him to get a job at a firm and for me to take it solo and see what I could do with it. And if it worked out, great. He would come and join me one day. And we never thought it would be this soon. Everything's just kind of fallen into place. But yeah.
That's really exciting that and a lot of the interviews I've done over the past year. So it's been a crazy year, and especially with estate planning, maybe people are thinking about their exit plan,
right?
a little bit more. But it is to do a will or a power of attorney is what some people you would probably cut my head off. But some people may think that's a luxury and that's not a necessity. And so for you to still be successful in your business over the past couple of years and be at a point where your husband can join you, what do you think that it was that allowed you to grow your business in the last year?
Yeah, I think that we've just went out there and really tried to educate. We've done some seminars. Before COVID, it was a lot easier, and now we're able to start doing some. We're doing some at the Biz Foundry, and we hope to do more this summer.
You work with Andrea Burkhart a
we
bit.
We do. And she's been wonderful, and she does life insurance. So, she's been great working with her. And I think another thing that's helped us be successful is the fact that people realize estate planning doesn't just have to be for people that have a lot of wealth. It could be for someone who may have to go on Medicaid, and they may have like a house here in Cookeville or up in the Upper Cumberland Plateau. And if they don't plan 5 years in advance, that house could very well end up with a government. Mm-hmm. And so I think the more people are educated on estate planning, the more they realize everyone needs a will. Also, I know a lot of people may not like where the state of Tennessee would direct their assets if they don't make a will. So it's important to have one for everyone.
All those control freaks, which I'm raising my hand right now. I think it's somewhat for those kind of people where it's like, I just want to know that everything's going to go the way I want it. I'm going to control things from the grave.
Yes. Yes. Well, and you know, sometimes it's not even that people may have a house. It might be they have a sentimental necklace or something that was passed down in the family. And if they don't write down where they want that to go, it could end up in the wrong hands. And that's always just so sad to see when something like that happens.
Well, and I think for me, I'm a single woman, as having a medical directive, I want the right people to know how to make those decisions for me.
Absolutely. And that's something we deal with a lot, is people having to come in to get conservatorships over their loved ones who didn't get those medical directives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you never know if the person's coming in. Once you lose capacity, you're kind of stuck with whoever comes and petitions the court. It could be an aunt, it could be a niece, it could be someone that person didn't like.
A parent that you're estranged from.
Yeah.
Because they're legally on the paperwork.
Right.
We're going to get more into that in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Victoria Lanham with Lanham Law, Estate Planning and Elder Law. So one of the things that we've talked about before is how important it is to have a plan with business partnerships. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of businesses around here do have partnerships. It's, you know, maybe brothers or friends that have gotten together and have created these businesses.
Or just a stranger.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they just come in and people click and they create these businesses, and it's all great when things are great. But what happens when things go wrong?
And those things aren't necessarily like, oh, that's a bad person or what. It's not necessarily drama.
No, no.
It can be the fact that somebody dies.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think it's important for every business to have a business succession plan for something. If they do pass away, if there's no plan in place, then it's very possible that that person's family members would inherit their portion of the business. And then now the business partners have now inherited a partner they might not have necessarily picked or would pick or want in there. And it just gets very complicated.
Although you don't want to think about it, it's kind of like getting into bed with somebody. And so you don't want to, you know, getting into a partnership is kind of like getting into bed. And so you want to make sure that that's a partnership for the first, for when you go into it, that it's somebody you want to be with, but then that you protect that relationship that you have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You really want to make sure that you have something in place. The best way to do it is actually to get a business succession plan and to fund it with life insurance. So each person would, it, obviously there's more technical ways and I won't get into all that, but
which is why you work with Andrea Burkhart at New York Life a lot.
Absolutely. And so she would come in and they could do buy sell agreements. And it's not always just for death. It can also be for divorce. It could be for if they were to become disabled or incapacitated or different scenarios.
Well, and we talked about that a little bit with you and your husband, is that you are in a partnership in your business now.
Yeah.
And it's your husband, and nothing, no one ever wants to talk about or think that there's even a chance that you would no longer be married.
Yeah.
But you know, you want to make sure that you just plan that out so that there's no question of how that would go.
Right. And it's always best to plan things while things are good and everything's going well than to wait till something goes wrong, like a divorce. And then you're trying to figure out, well, you know, who gets the business and who gets to keep the name of the business? And, you know, there's a lot of questions. We've been pushed this past year to consider those things. And
between the two of us,
our business. And it's also helped us with clients as well to let them know these are things you also need to be considering.
Yeah. Well, and I, like you said, I think that's a good thing to keep in mind, is that you always want to plan when things are good. I think even with myself, you know, doing kind of medical decisions, power of an attorney and stuff, it was not that I was in a place where medical decisions needed to be made. I just thought, I don't want the state or somebody that I don't want to make these medical decisions. Yes. I want to choose who gets to do these things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's good that it's just like, it's just a sunny, you know, Tuesday, let's go get my will done.
Yeah. And it's actually interesting because we have a lot of people that come in and, you know, estate planning is very intimidating. This is not topics that people want to talk about, that they want to think about. Everyone wants to think they'll live forever.
And I do not. I just, somebody posted the other day, would you rather live to 50 or 150? And I, which 50 is not that far away from me, but I would not choose, I would choose 50.
Really?
Yes, because 100, that's just a lot of life.
It is a lot of life.
You know, I mean, think of how crazy, if people are a little crazy right now, think of how crazy they'll be, you know, 100 years from now.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You're right. But when people come in, you'll see they've never asked themselves these questions. They don't know who they want to make these decisions. So it's interesting, had they had nothing in place and a random person, they definitely wouldn't want the random person that chooses to make the decisions for them, because they can't even decide themselves.
Yeah.
These are conversations. Sometimes it takes weeks or months, or some of us will come back years later and be like, okay, we're finally ready to get this plan in place. So these are questions, the earlier you ask yourself them, the better you'll be off and you can get something in place
and get those plans done. In case you're just joining us, we have Victoria Lanham with Lanham Law in today. And so, you know, you've only had this business for a few years, but tell me about some hard times where you've maybe thought, maybe, you know, like you said, you kind of had the security blanket of Tyler doing his thing.
Yeah.
Were there times where you thought maybe we should fold? Maybe we should just kind of go in and have both be the safety nets and not do this business on our own?
Yeah. You know, there really hasn't come, maybe with COVID a little bit. When COVID came, Tyler had got selected for the Army JAG Reserve. He was already in the Army Reserve, so he had went off and went to training. And courts were closed. There weren't many clients coming in. Everyone was, you know, kind of in their house doing their thing. So I went back to Mississippi to be with my grandparents to help take care of them for a while. And the cases I did have, I was able to work on remotely. That was the one point I was like, man, if things don't open back up, you know, it could definitely be an issue in the future, and I don't know what'll happen, but courts opened back up in June, I believe, of last year, and then he came back in July. And when he came back, we also had that safety net of he had been in the JAG that whole time, and he was able to work and get money. So at that point, we were very fortunate that he was able to just come on and join the firm, and we just didn't give up and kept going. And yeah.
Well, and I think that's the sign of true entrepreneurship, of just, okay, we'll see what we can do. And, you know, that wasn't in the plan for him to go away for a few months. And but you got to kind of keep things afloat with that. And then you were able to move locations as well.
Yeah.
And so you got to find a new home. And so where are you located now?
We're here in Cookeville.
Where exactly is your office if people are trying to find you?
Yeah. So we are in Vining Square. It is across from the Justice Center.
So there's a big parking lot that is the jail parking lot.
Yes.
Justice Center. Sometimes you say fancy things and nobody calls
the jail.
Those common folk like us call it the Justice Center. I had to go to a court hearing one time, and I went to the big white building on that is the square.
Okay.
I think that's a historic court. Is what I think I've been told, but so you have a new location over there.
We do,
And you have people can come see you in your office.
Yeah, absolutely, they can.
So, what do you think is next for you guys? What do you see?
I think we're just going to continue doing educational seminars and just keep growing our estate planning and elder law practice, and you know, maybe reach out to other parts of Tennessee at some point, but just keep growing.
Do you think you would, do you see yourself opening a second location at some point, or even, and I don't know how even certification works. Can you practice law outside of the state of Tennessee?
There are certain rules for outside of the state of Tennessee, year wise and different certifications you do have to get.
Okay.
But we definitely see ourselves maybe open other branches in Tennessee. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, and that's, so do you worry that you'll kind of lose touch with law at some point? Because that's what happens when you're a business, you're an entrepreneur, you're not doing the thing you started it to do anymore.
Yeah, I actually don't. And the reason is because we have such a focus on elder law and estate planning. We're not really doing many other areas of the law. And I think that will help us be able to ground ourselves in building this business, but also really getting our craft right.
And staying in touch with your customers
yes.
and your clients
yes.
and not getting too big for your britches. I
yes.
guess,
no, sometimes. No, so. Definitely not.
We'll be back in a second. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I'm Victoria Lanham with Lanham Law in today. So you were talking about that you do some workshops with Andrea Burkhart of New York Life. And tell me a little bit about those. I know she's a super advocate for, you know, just planning your future financially and all that kind of stuff. So tell me what you guys are doing in those workshops and how people can find out more about them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've just started working with her on some of the different workshops. We basically start off explaining why estate planning is important, different stats of who has an estate plan, who doesn't have an estate plan. And then we'll actually go through, you know, why you need a last will and testament and what that last will and testament does and why you need both a financial and health care power of attorney.
So what else? So you go through kind of some statistics on who has wills. What else do you go through in these workshops?
Yeah, so we'll actually go into trust and different revocable or irrevocable trust and explain the difference.
Tell me a little bit of what a trust is.
Yeah, so a trust would be a way to avoid probate for one, or to basically protect your assets.
So you put all your kind of all your stuff into a trust,
yes,
if you will, a house, your assets, your house, your cars, all your money. And then that's a way to kind of distribute it how you want.
Yes, absolutely. That's
in layman's terms.
That's a very simple way of putting it. Yes.
Which I know probably stresses people out because it's like, there's so much more. I know there's more, but.
Yes. Well, and there's different kinds and different reasons you would need them. And trusts aren't for everyone. We truly believe that most Tennesseans need a last will and testament. But a trust is not for everyone. It really just depends on their assets and what they have and what their planning needs and wants are.
Well, and I think, like, I have kids, and so having a trust and having it set up so that they get it at certain times yes. and all that kind of stuff. That would be a need for somebody like me.
Minor children, yes, that's always a need. And that way you can actually put like a trustee over it. That would.
It's my way to control things again.
Yes, yes. Well, and you know, even if your child was maybe 16 years old, you don't want them getting a huge sum of money at 16. You definitely want to wait till certain milestones or be able to have control over it for certain educational or, you know, maintenance purposes. And everything.
I guess there's a part of me that kind of feels like God gave these children to me and he chose me to have them. And so I feel like I want to like plan the best I can for them.
Yeah.
And so not just for my life here on earth, but while, you know, to put them in place. And I think that's what people don't realize a lot of times. I bet you hear this a lot is I'm dead. What do I care?
Yeah.
So
that's one view on it. And that's why a lot of people just don't want to maybe invest the money it does take to get in an estate plan. You'd be surprised. Some of the most wealthiest people are the ones that don't want to spend a dime on it to plan.
Well, and I think it's not about you.
Right.
And I don't know if people kind of see that or not see that of like, well, like I said, I'm dead. I don't care. You know, do what you want, but it's costing a lot of time and a lot of money where I think I was watching like 2020 and they were still trying to settle somebody's estate. And the person, the daughter was like, I'm still grieving over this all the time because she was kind of battling a stepdad.
Right.
And so it's like you need to put the things in place.
Well, and when you do, it cuts out so much conflict and then people can just grieve and go through that time to process it and not have to worry about, well, what am I going to get? Or what do I do with this? Or, you know, what did my mom want? And they don't have as many questions.
Or they can say, mom didn't give me anything.
They can say that as well.
But, you know, that's mom's choice.
Yeah.
So mom gets to kind of choose how she wants to do things.
Absolutely.
And she gets to have the last laugh or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
All right. So in these workshops, so you kind of go through a trust and I keep kind of sidetracking you.
Yeah.
But, so what other things of what can you expect to kind of come to these workshops and learn about?
Yeah, we really just go into, you know, basic estate planning needs and, you know, really into the powers of attorneys and what's the difference between a financial power of attorney and a healthcare power of attorney and how you think about who you choose to be the agents for these important documents. Because it's a big role for someone to take on agent, to be your healthcare agent. You need to, one, make sure they know what you want for your medical decisions, but also make sure they're able to make them. You know, a lot of people wouldn't have the ability to say, you know, we need to cut off life support if that's what your mother wants and or anything like that.
That is a good point, is that sometimes people can, there could be hurt feelings if you don't quote unquote choose the right person, but it's like, well, you have to look at the whole entire big picture. You don't just look at, you know, I think sometimes the person closest to you can't make the right choices because they are grieving kind of more. And so that's hard to look at those things.
Right. Well, and in these documents too, it's great because you can actually write down as much or as little as you want. I mean, you can put all kinds of detail about what you would like and what you wouldn't.
You're laughing. I feel like there's maybe just, can you just dangle a carrot of a story to us?
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of people that come in and are like, look, I want medicine regardless. Like, you know, give me the full pain administration that you can if I'm suffering, you know, or, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to be force fed or they don't want to be put on different IV drips or, you know, if they're not comfortable, that's what I see mostly. People want to be comfortable in whatever situation they're in. Mm-hmm. I've also had people come in and they want all the things all the time. They just want to be taken care of. And that's fine too. And that's what's important about it is that you write these things down and let people know what you want.
Any crazy things that people want to like leave for other people?
People are very particular about their body parts, about which body parts they'll give or not give.
Interesting.
And other people, which I'm one, love their pets a lot. And so some people are very particular about their pets and about the care their pets
can get. I have seen a video of you guys with your dogs.
Yes. Well, I'm one of those crazy pet people. And that is something, you know, a lot of people are. Yeah. So it's nice that we're able to include those. I mean, to us, our pets are family. So, yeah. And a lot of people, that's the case. So if that is somebody's wishes, you know, we can definitely make sure that's addressed in there as well.
In case you're just joining us, we have Victoria Lanham with Lanham Law in today. So you said that you're going into kind of exploring special needs law and what objectives that people might have with special needs, families that have special needs. Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah. So a lot of families that do have special needs or special needs children, or maybe a parent with special needs, or, you know, depending on the circumstances, there's a lot of estate planning tactics that can help them. Because a lot of times, say someone does have a special needs child, they are their primary caregivers. Mm-hmm. And that might be a lifelong task. And so for that person with special needs, there needs to be a plan in place in case something, you know, someone could get in a car wreck, or, mm-hmm. you know, you could age and pass away. And so there needs to be some kind of plan in place. And so that's what we are starting to get into is planning for those events. And that can include, you know, getting a trust in place and getting money to them at a certain time. It can also get into, well, where would they live? What facility would they go to?
Caretakers,
yes,
and such.
Who would be their caretaker?
And that's something that I don't think very many people probably think much about. And so that's
I think people with special needs, family members and loved ones, definitely have to think about these things. It's just a matter of whether they've had the chance to plan for them or if they've, you know, not thought about that yet.
So. Where do you find the support to, because, you know, talking about people dying all day long is can be draining.
Yeah.
So where do you find the emotional support to kind of recharge yourself, or how do you recharge yourself?
Yeah. So I am very, very close with my grandparents. And since I was, I think, about 18 years old, they made me executor of their estate. And so that has been a big backing force behind me wanting to get into estate planning, is because when I was 18, I knew what he told me and what the advisors he had put me in front of had told me. But, you know, I knew, wow, this is going to be a big task one day. They've got all kinds of businesses and different things I'll have to wind up, and they have, you know, multiple properties. And that's something one day I'll have to do. But it's something they've always pushed me and encouraged me to talk about. They have always told me, you know, look, we won't be here forever. And
it's so my grandparents, they're still around too. And when my grandpa first got a hearing aid, like I was like, what? Grandpa has a hearing aid? And I have a hard time thinking that, you know, grandparents aren't going to be around forever.
Yeah. Well, and it's a hard thing to do. And I don't even know if it, you know, if reality really sets in when I talk about it. I mean, I think it's easier to talk about just like, look, in the hypothetical situation, almost like, you know, if this happens in the future, this is what we need to do. I think it's different. It's easier to plan now than when something actually happens you're under that duress and emotional.
Yeah. As with everything. So real quick, how do we find you again? People can find you at, what's the address over there?
It is 116 Locust Avenue.
Okay. And what's your website?
www.lanhamlaw.com.
Lanhamlaw.com. And social media?
We're on Facebook and Instagram.
Facebook and Instagram. So check them out. Victoria and Tyler. Lanham Law. Get your will done. Go do all the things. Your power of attorney. I don't even know all the terms, but I'll text my attorney and say, do I have this? Do I have that? Like, because she, you know, they just take care of everything, and then, you know, you have it done. So thank you so much for coming in today, Victoria. It was great to have you.
Thank you for having me.